And you're listening to the iTeach podcast. I'm your host, Andy Boyle. In this clip, Hannah Rome talks with us about iTeach On Demand, an innovative new service that allows us to support teachers anytime, anywhere. For more information on Demand or any of the innovative services offered by KSU iTeach, check us out at our website at iteach.kennesaw.edu or email us at info@ksuiteach.org. If you would like to connect with Hannah, her contact info can be found in the episode description. As always, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. And if you like what you hear, write a review so other educators can find us more easily. Now here's the clip, and until the next episode, cheers.
With that, I don't know, Hannah, I think it would be really interesting. Like, can you just give us a little preview of what you were doing before you jumped on the boat with iTeach On Demand?
Yeah, so I have been supporting two elementary schools as their embedded coach, just helping with guiding those teachers and using those devices into their instruction, trying to personalize their learning for their students. And this has been kind of the natural segue that has taken that embedded coaching, but making that coaching more purposeful. And in my opinion, I've had the experience with On Demand. It's made my conversations with teachers more intentional, where we were warm bodies in the school. Now we are that coach that they need when they need it. And it's been making that that personal or professional development really goal-oriented and accountable. And it's let us kind of let go of that hand-holding that we've done with teachers and really put that emphasis back on this purposeful coaching cycle, where it's this, we already have this relationship connected. We already have this experience with each other personally. We have that relationship down. So now that we are meeting virtually and we don't have a whole lot of time to just kind of sit and chat, now we are talking about what they want to do, how they want to do it, giving them the resources that they need, offering suggestions, then coming back together, asking how it went, giving them more direction. So it's given this back and forth kind of approach a really streamlined process, like Stephanie said.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, I think there is the same kind of experience that we have with kids when we change, you know, students and learners in the classroom, when we change the delivery model, right, and and the accountabilities are different. It's not as if the teachers who are experiencing face-to-face coaching every day were, like, super keen to jump on board with this, because if you imagine the same way that we're asking students to take more ownership, responsibility, and agency over their learning, we're now asking the teachers that we're collaborating with to do the very same thing, which ultimately means that whatever the learning is more sticky, right? It has a better viability in their classroom after coaching is kind of finished. But it's hard, and teachers push back, and you guys became almost like enrollment specialists for a while. And talk about what that looks like, you know, and how you've coached the team who's working on demand to sort of build those skills in getting people to the yes and actually getting to the meeting, right? Scheduling a meeting does not mean that there is a 100% chance.
Yeah. And that's kind of, like you said, this kind of all happened, and we all just were on demand all of a sudden. And so we were learning as we were going and kind of experiencing, you know, these positive and negative experiences. And we all, as a collective, some of us were experiencing reoccurring meetings while some of us are not. And that's still kind of the case. We're all kind of back and forth, and every teacher we know is different and every coach is different. So what Jackie and I have kind of tried to do, and that's kind of our goal with being leads, is that we're trying to get it organized. We're trying to get a process in place. We're trying to share experiences with each other so we can learn from each other and make it more of a not a vent session, but more of a motivational, like, let's learn from each other. Let's talk about the fails, but let's learn from it. Let's grow from it. We're trying to establish that growth mindset so we can all kind of see what we've done, how we're doing it, and what our approaches, how they're varied. Because we all have different personalities. And we all have different ways of connecting with those teachers. So we're trying to experiment with which one of those connections have been successful and what made it successful. Mm-hmm. And so when we're meeting with teachers, like you said, scheduling the meeting is one thing, but having that follow through and then setting up reoccurring meetings is another. And that's kind of where it's a struggle, especially with like we were talking about this time of year with teachers. It's really hard to get them to follow through. And what we've been trying to talk about are some of those tricks, some of those incentives, mm-hmm. questioning what's going to get those teachers motivated. Where are those early adopters? What are they experiencing? How are they going to get other teachers interested in it, too? I think what's worked really well with a lot of us is that that sense of that early adopter teacher. I think they are the ones who are naturally motivated and interested in starting with them and working with them. Has made those meetings more accessible. Once we've set up those meetings with those teachers, they've done more to get their teams involved. We have a lot of coaches who are connecting with grade levels as a whole. And then from there, different teachers on those grade levels are trying to motivate their co-teachers. And once we establish those meetings too, and we have that relationship, it really kind of proves to the teacher that it's worth their time. So I think once you can get them in the door, it's a little easier to kind of get them to follow through.
Because they realize that it's not this, you know, weird and huge lift that they're going to have to endure, right?
Yeah, it's not, that one more thing. It's kind of, it's what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. We have to make it worth their time. And I think with on-demand being so open with morning meetings or midday meetings or afternoon meetings, that just that timing is better for teachers, and that's made them excited about it. The follow through is still a struggle, but we are, as a team, trying to kind of figure out incentives. And I think mm-hmm. that's our kind of a next step, is trying to keep them motivated.
Right. And I think it's really interesting how coaching theory dovetails with motivation theory. It's always been really interesting to me. And, you know, you've got to have something that's very intrinsic for someone at a certain point. But then there are all those extrinsic levers that you can pull to get people through the door and into that relationship with you. And so for us, and, you know, shout out to Anissa's course, we always try to leverage Jim Knight's impact cycle, mm-hmm. and certainly the impact cycle, and then the feedback text also have really been guideposts for us to structure our time very specifically with teachers. And then, you know, always collecting formative data points along the way. Like, they fill out an exit ticket after every on-demand meeting to give the coach some feedback as to, like, this was either valuable or not, and here's why, and here's what I need moving forward. So, you know, it's iterative by design, but it's certainly moving forward quickly.
Well, and I think what's worked well is we still have that relationship factor. So that was such a strong part of embedded coaching, is we want to build those relationships so we gain the trust of teachers. And I think that was a worry about going on demand, is do we still have that capability since we're not face-to-face and we're virtual? How can we still connect? But the relationship is now, it's changed. It's more of... we're recognizing and acknowledging their interest mm-hmm. and their abilities to be a part of this relationship. And I think teaching is a thankless job. We all know that. But I think when we are acknowledging and saying, like, we appreciate this time, and they're acknowledging and saying, you know, I appreciate what you've done, and this has really been purposeful, and you've given me what I needed, mm-hmm. and it made it when they need it. I think that acknowledgement, that simple understanding and listening, has been a big driving force.
I don't know why the idea that we can't develop relationships online perpetuates. Because people date online and fall in love online all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I've got a buddy who's been married a long time to a girl that he met gaming.
You absolutely can develop relationships online. And this idea that even online education, you know, somehow when you're the teacher in an online course, that you don't develop mm-hmm. relationships. Of course you do.
And it's just not true. Right. Now, I do think that people who make those statements are probably very uncomfortable in those environments, and that's why they're maybe saying those things. So part of
Or maybe they just don't know.
Right. But I mean, like, uncomfortability is part of that, right? Yeah. You don't know, you have not done, you know, all of those things. And so I think creating this environment for teachers is step one that really needs to spread across. Like, until you have experience as a recipient in the environment mm-hmm. and feel what that's like, it's really hard to then you know, qualify this as a valid way to build a relationships. I mean, even those, and you know, I know some at the higher education level are resistant to putting courses or programs online because of this pushback.
Right. The belief that the relationship is only a face-to-face development.
Right.
But we have that video feature. I mean, we're talking to each other. We're looking at each other. We're reading each other's signs from facial expressions.
Right.
We are able to still communicate, and we're able to still kind of chat and have a more personal experience, I feel like, because we are doing that video piece. That face-to-face is still there. We're just not physically face-to-face.
Yeah, and
it does help.
And I think that the piece that's most motivating is that this happens when they request it. This doesn't happen to educators that we're working with. This is because either it's happening very real time in a situation where they need the plus one of a cognitive, you know, peer, or because they know something is coming and they have a goal set that they already want to address. So it completely changes the feel of the interaction anyway, because it's not happening to somebody, it's happening for somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the most important pieces of good blended learning. Certainly one of the most intricate pieces of personalized learning in a co-planning sense of the word. And for us, what we really want to be able to do is model what both co-planning, coaching, and how that philosophy ties into personalized learning for teachers. I mean, we're nefarious in everything we do. Like there's always a sub goal of how do we approach personalized learning based on what we're doing right now.
Right.
So that's
the goal.
How
do we model it so that teachers understand what personalized learning is, even if they're not doing it in their classroom, they're experiencing it as a learner.
Absolutely. And you know, whether they know that or not at the front outset, you know, we try to come to that over time.
Sure. Yeah. Interesting. So two things you talked about, Hannah, that I, you know, I wrote down and I wanted to go back to in the whole motivation discussion, right? I think this is super important. And, you know, we have school administrators and district level administrators that listen to the show. And I think this is really in this motivation piece. You guys know I'm a big TOMO fan. I've been reading The Vega Factor. We're into total motivation. This is where admin and district level admin can really play their part in letting teachers have the freedom to explore what it is they want to explore in their classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. That play aspect of play, which we all know is the number one motivating factor to get us to do what we want, is that ability to play, that we get to pick what it is that we're passionate about that we want to explore. And I think on-demand provides that access for teachers. And I think it's super valuable and important that school level and district level administration allow teachers to have that access. I think we're giving it to them. Mm-hmm. We need the teacher leaders, we need the school building leaders to support teachers in exploring and trying those things in their classrooms.
So let me just clarify for our listeners, since I'm not a member of iTeach, mm-hmm. just what I heard this on demand is, and mm-hmm. tell me if I'm correct. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. All right.
Well, hold on. Let me get like a.
I've been listening.
My ruler. I'm going to paddle you if you're wrong or something.
Oh, my Lord.
God, mostly professional. Hashtag. Okay. So. So what you're doing is you've had coaches embedded in the schools, mm-hmm. but now those coaches, their scheduling is adjusted such that it's more on demand, which you're using video conferencing tools mm-hmm. to help those coaches that may be in the building or they may not be in that building today mm-hmm. connect with the teachers that they so they'll connect virtually with the teachers that they sometimes connect face to face with.
That's right.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fantastic. So yeah. So one of the motivating factors for us was scheduling was an issue, right? Mm-hmm. So that if we've got a coach in a building, and you know, it's not a good time for the teacher. Or, you know, sometimes we have coaches that split between buildings, and on Monday they're in building A and Tuesday they're in building B. But right. what happens on Tuesday if building A needs that support right then?
So what if Hannah, you're in another meeting with another teacher? And how are you getting clued that a teacher wants to work with you? Do you have an iPad with you or phone that's ringing?
So let's walk through the process. So we leverage right now a chatbot on our website.
Okay.
And so there's two pathways to on-demand. One is that these teachers have already had an existing coaching relationship with a specific coach, and they can just coordinate with that coach to set up times, or they have their contact that pings them, you know, automatically if they send an email or a text. Many times the coaches are giving out their cell phone numbers so that they can be really available. Those are in existing contracts that we have. The future model really is that you initiate a chat on our website. That chat is either routed based on who you've already previously started working with, or we have what we are calling the bench of staff, coaches who are ready to serve on demand. And so that that schedule rotates. But essentially moving forward, people will be able to just go to the website, start a chat and say, hey, I need to, you know, talk to somebody for middle school math. I'm doing a unit and I need some support. So we can very specifically target them to a person on our staff who's available that has like experience, both grade level and content area. And so what we're trying to do is redefine the coaching relationship such that it's not a specific individual with a specific coach all the time.
Okay.
Though when we swarm on site for those sort of, you know, midpoints or a couple of times, maybe once a month or a couple of times a semester, that they know the collective more than they know the individual and feel very comfortable with the collective.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were to go to our website right now, right, at iteach.kennesaw.edu, you'll see down in the bottom right corner, there's a picture icon, and that picture will be either of myself or Stephanie or Hannah or Jackie or any of the coaches that are logged in and ready for on demand.
Okay.
And you literally can just click on the icon and a window will pop open that says, you know, what do you want? And you can say, here's what I need right now. And we can respond right then, right there, you know, right when you need it. And if it's something that can be taken and handled over like a text chat, we can have a back and forth right there and take care of it. If it's something more complex, or maybe the teacher on the other end is like, well, I really need to see this, then we drop a link into a video session, and we open up, all they do is click the link. It opens up in the browser, so there's no software or anything that anyone has to download. And right then we're connected on video. We can share screens, we can send files, we can do any of that right then on demand to provide that teacher the support that that he or she needs right when they need it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really just,
it's really cool.
You know, in line with the whole idea and philosophy of the sweater vest protest, I think it's just like, you know, time that we stop creating environments where teachers feel very isolated in their classrooms.
Right.
Certainly we have PLCs and grade level meetings, but those are not times for authentic real-time adjustment of pedagogy and practice, right? Those are...
The PLCs could be, though.
They could be, but very rarely, as I've seen them to date, are they always leveraged to that capacity.
Right.
And so part of what On Demand could do is to beam in to a PLC meeting and help guide and facilitate that until they get to a good working norm for themselves. But I think in every other profession, we have just-in-time support ready for us. I know in my position, I have a help desk I can call anytime. I have HR helplines that I can call anytime. I have Ask Legal at KSU that I can ask a question of anytime about a contract. I have all of these access points and resources. And what's frequently the case is that in a K-12 district or school, the support staff is very, very limited. And most people have pivoted to a very slim central operating staff to be able to put more teaching professionals in schools to limit class sizes. So that's a very realistic expectation. But they just don't have the people to help them.
So, I mean, let's say the teacher is implementing a lesson that uses iPads and some software, and everything's, you know, going to heck in a handbasket in that moment. Is that a scenario where a teacher would log into the chat and be like, oh, what am I doing?
Absolutely. And it's so funny because, and maybe Hannah can talk about this because I know she's done it, but sometimes it really is like, I don't know what's going on, but here's this whole group of kids are staring at me and like, help me out. And the coaches at that point can not only support the teachers with co-planning and modeling, but they can actually teach.
You can jump in with the kids.
Right, with the students and model what can happen in that environment. So that's something that happens, I don't even know, more often, honestly, than we even anticipated that it would.
Yeah, right? I've actually done like two or three sessions where I've modeled something or demonstrated something for the kids themselves. And the teacher will put me on their big board, log in just like they're going to log in to chat with me, except this time I'm directing my instruction toward the kids. So a lot of times when I'm trying to walk the teachers through a new tool or new strategy and they're not sure how it's going to look, then we'll arrange a time and we'll do it with the children. I actually have one coming up this week.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I think that that's such a great help too. What we haven't talked about is really the cost effectiveness of this model for the same ROI. And so there's a pretty good study out there from Kraft and Blazer, I think 2018, that really talks about virtual coaching in alignment to face-to-face coaching, and that there really is no discernible difference in results. So it actually can be as effective, and we're arguing now that we're actually more effective because we have targeted time. However, I think that what's happening now is that districts are paying for face-to-face consulting that is a very, very high price tag. And so they get a very shallow permeation based on the funds that they have available. Because we are only doing these very short, you know, 1 hour snippets, the availability and the depth at which we can sort of hit multiple touch points in a school or a district is much larger with the same, you know, proverbial bucket of money.
Right.
Because we're now saying, like, we don't need to be just there for the day and call it a, you know, a billable day. We're gonna give you the proof of these time commitments that we have with X individuals. And so you're not paying for travel. You're not paying for all of the other things that a consultant rate typically includes. And so all of the funds are now pushed back to that coaching experience.
Not to mention the time that travel occupies in a day, driving from site to site. I mean, that's, you know, if you imagine trying to hit three schools in a major urban setting, you know, if you're in Atlanta or, I don't know, another major city, you know, and you're trying to get to three sites. I mean, you're good luck really spending a lot of time in a building with teachers in a meaningful way when in the back of your mind, you know that you've got to get on the road and get to the next stop and anticipate traffic and this and that.
So what does this offer for rural school districts then?
Absolutely.
Even more so maybe.
Well, and we talk a lot about equity in education, and I don't think that people necessarily put that hand in hand with technology provision in a way that's external from internet access, right? Everybody talks about equity of access as it's like this magical Wi-Fi thing, but it really is about technology being the limiter or the enabler of access to services just like this. Even in our own state of Georgia, we have many, many, many districts, a disparate amount of districts that are rural, you know, and
single high school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Single high school, very small, understaffed and under-resourced districts. And this changes the game for them. I mean, they don't have the funding structure to even contemplate a full-time embedded coach, you know, in their system. They don't even have that ability to change somebody's role, you know, within their current system.
Right.
So
if they only need half a coach because they have one high school
That's right. Then you purchase, and what we do is bill out for tokens. So think about it as an arcade game, right? Like you take your $20 bill, you put it in the machine, you get out 50 tokens, all right? And anybody can use those tokens at the arcade. And once that you put it in the machine, you can't get it back again. Whether you play that game until your time is up at an hour, or whether you play that game for 5 minutes and get frustrated. So that's the billing of on demand, is that you are purchasing these tokens, and it's, you know,
you might have some who use it more.
That's right.
Use the tokens more than others.
That's right.
But
and then what we do is provision sort of a usage report quarterly so that schools and districts can understand who's using this. What are they using it for? We always in our impact reporting give good examples qualitatively. So here's a great teacher example. Here's, you know, some screenshots or some artifacts that we can share. So it's a complete, it's flipping consultancy really on its head in a way that other industry, again, it's not unusual to think about things in this way, but for education, there's nothing that has been available at scale like this to date.
Exciting.
Yeah. New yeah. Stuff. And one thing I wrote down I wanted to get back to talk about, and that is kind of, Stephanie, you had mentioned the research is showing kind of that there is no significant levels of, you can't discern between virtual support and face-to-face support. And, you know, I read an article last week, I think, or over the weekend, that showed that there were some positive even aspects of this on-demand virtual coach, and that one of the biggest hurdles that's a mash of hurdle and obstacle. I just created.
I love it. Word of the day.
I just patented a new word, hurdles.
So many hurdles.
10 times worse than a hurdle or an obstacle.
Yes. So, and I am standing because my watch told me to stand. So it's
You're
that time of day. So,
one of those
hurdles, those obstacles that we do face in the classroom as a face-to-face coach is that the perception that we can provide some sort of punitive,
evaluative,
that we are in that kind of evaluative
that
you're a spy role.
To report back to
that
the
administrator.
That
we are the KGB reporting back to the
and
principal.
And so there is this new research out that's showing that virtual support is almost easing those teachers' woes, that it does provide that separation.
Well, it contradicts that assumption.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're not physically there. And certainly this isn't like a teachers in the classroom or eyes in the classroom thing where we're just beaming in like unannounced and, you know, big brotherish. So that's not what this is at all.
Right.
So I think there is that contradiction of the mentality that you're going to be in here taking data, giving it to my principal. And so I'm going to have a wall up forever with you.
Right. Yeah. So virtual is helping teachers separate.
The Kraft and Blazer. I'm going to drop a link to that on Twitter so that you guys can take a look at that study, too.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really excited for rural school districts to take advantage of this, because I know that having capacity for coaching can be a real challenge for those districts, and instructional quality can – the access to professional development in general for teachers can be very limited.
Yeah.
Although – KSU offers many online programs, including a master's in instructional technology, which you should apply to before April 1st, or you can apply for the fall or the spring semester after that. I just want to bring that up.
There we go.
Also, just because I don't want to leave a third author out. And
You're not at your mic.
Pardon me. So it's technically Kraft, Blazer, and Hogan. Kraft and Hogan from Brown University, David Blazer from Harvard University. This was published in 2016 and updated in 2017. It's called The Effect of Teacher Coaching on Instruction and Achievement, a Meta-Analysis of the Causal Evidence. That's so I am putting that on Twitter right now.
Fantastic. Thanks. What schools were those? I'm not familiar with them.
just a couple of little, you know, rundown institutions.
Certainly not from the largest R2 institution in the state of Georgia.
In the United States.
In the United States.
Well, I haven't written that piece yet. No, sorry.
Yeah.
Bring it. Add that to your to-do. Will you there, Anissa?
Yeah, I'm on it.
All right.
In the midst of everything else, right? Well, yeah, I want to just end on the note of I'm super proud of the team. I think maybe we're probably not the first people that have thought about something like this, but we're certainly the first group that has the capacity and the expertise to implement it. And so we're going to push it hard. And we've just completed a national scan to identify folks across the nation that are primed for this kind of exposure. Certainly folks who have just invested a very large sum of money in technology with very little resource allocated to teacher pedagogy support at the time of those technological advancements. Those are people on our list. Folks who are in states where they have all of the levers pulled for the possibility of personalized learning, but maybe they're just not there with a model for what it could look like yet. Those are people on our list. So more to come. And if you are somebody who knows somebody or is interested in yourself in iTeach On Demand, you can just go to our website, iteach.kennesaw.edu, click the chat, and ask us for what's up.
Click on that beautiful smiling face down in the corner.
Oh, Lord Andy Boyle.
Well, and I'll just say, like, this has been it was really kind of nerve-wracking at first trying to figure out how this would work. But I'll just say as a coach, have experienced more success with this on-demand format in, like, 2 months than I have being in a school for a year. It just makes me feel kind of weird going around and bombarding people during their special saying, hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's up? Hey, can we work together? I just feel like that annoying person. But now we are on track with what we're doing with these teachers, and they have really good feedback to get from it. If anything that I've gotten more thank yous than I've gotten face to face. I've gotten more more support and word of mouth to admin this mm-hmm. way. Wow. They've really been, it's really been successful. And I can't stress that enough how much fun it has been and how engaging it has been.
That's fantastic. Love that it's
fun. That's great.
That's great to hear. Yeah.
Because again, to be nefarious, like there is something about maintaining positive morale in our own team and giving people back that TOMO. I think anytime you're doing something for a few years, you can get stagnated around it. Right. And that's not what I want for this team. So, you know, it's iTeach On Demand today. Maybe next time we're on with iTeach Live, we could talk about iTeach On or iTeach You. So we've always are spinning up more ventures to keep people aligned to work that they're passionate about, work that they feel challenges them, and something that ultimately makes a huge contribution back to the field that we all love. So.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. So thank you so very much, Hannah, for joining us today.
And
while we may or may not be done talking about, you know, On Demand and your role in that, you are more than welcome to stay in studio and join us for, you know, contribute as much, whatever you want. Jump in and be a part of the show for the second hour as well. So
I have a on-demand meeting at 12:10 that I'll have to leave for.
Oh, all right.
No worries. No worries. We can do that. We'll be done by then. So
iTeach Live is produced by the instructional technology coaches from iTeach at Kennesaw State University with the cooperation of the Instructional Technology Department, the Bagwell College of Education, and KSU Owl Radio. You can reach out to them for more information, questions, or comments at their website, iteach.kennesaw.edu, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KSU iTeach.